You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
We're in Hosea. I'll do a quick recap because I know there's a few people that haven't heard where we're at. We get an overview of Hosea, and as an overview of Hosea, we got to grips with the story, so you'll be familiar with the story if you've read through it. But one of the things that God has actually said is, I want you to reflect on the message that was actually taking place in Hosea. So rather than actually opening up verse by verse and going through it, God has given us actual little reflections to go through each week. So that started off with forgetting God. One of the things we said was one of our greatest battles is forgetting God. And if you remember, I've said you probably think, actually, Darren, one of my greatest battles is not forgetting God. But actually, then when you think about some of those things that have gone wrong in your life, was God the first one you ran to? Or did you try and do all this other stuff? And then you went, oh, God, mustn't forget God. And that's where we started. We then went on to hurting God. How do we know we've hurt God? If we're made in the image of God and we hurt each other, we are hurting God. We then looked a few weeks back at that cause and effect. Do you remember we said there's sometimes a root cause, something happens, it creates a painful or creates an event, and that leads on to a painful effect. And what actually happens is we end up going back and having another painful event or another event that creates more pain, that does another event that creates more pain, and we keep in this silly circle until eventually we go, hang on a minute, why did all this start? That's right, we went back to the root cause. That root cause that we have is a broken relationship with God. And as it was in Hosea, God's people had exchanged that love of God for other loves, other lovers, other gods with small g's. They had forgotten God. But once they got back to that root cause and realized that relationship was broken, they realized that God had made a way. Even right back in the garden, you will crush his head and he will bruise your heel, is what God said to the snake. You are going to be defeated, but in the process, someone is going to die. And we know the whole story about that. God brought us back. He redeemed us. He took us out of captivity. And for those that believe in him, we are set free. We then looked at God's holiness last week. And that lovely phrase of holy, holy, holy. Only God's holiness is described in those three ways. There might be verily, verily. There might be truly, truly. As we said, this is very, very important because I've said it twice. The very, very is very, very important. But for something to be extremely, beyond all comprehension, to say it was very, very, very would have just been stupid in literature at the time. And here, God's holiness is described as holy, holy, holy. And if you weren't here last week, I'm going to read you this quote again from R.C. Sproul's book. It's called The Holiness of God. And I absolutely love this, so it's worth saying it again. We were thinking about describing God, and we'd use lots of different words to describe God. I wonder what word, if I said to you now, how would you describe God? And one of the things we says, and this is what the book says, when we use the word holy to describe God, we face a problem. We often describe God by compiling a list of qualities or characteristics that we call attributes. We say God is a spirit, that he knows everything, he's loving, just, merciful, gracious, whatever you said in your head a minute ago, and so on. The tendency is to add holy to this long list of attributes as one attribute amongst the many. But when the word holy is applied to God, it does not signify just one single attribute. He says, on the contrary, God is called holy in a general sense. That is, the word holy calls our attention to all that God is. It reminds us that his love is a holy love. His justice is a holy justice. You see where this is going. His mercy is holy mercy. His knowledge is holy knowledge. And this one sets me arms a-tingle. His Spirit is Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's beautiful, isn't it? That picture of God's holiness. And we are called to be holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And this week, we're moving on to a different word. And I've actually been asking a few people about this word this week. You might have actually heard me say it. I've said it quite a few times just in passing to see if anybody would catch up on it. Sometimes you might talk to other people about God and they go, oh, I've had enough of that. Have you heard the phrase yada, yada, yada? Anybody heard that phrase? Have you ever used it? It's interesting. Has that who said yada, yada, yada? I've heard it. Yeah, okay. Sometimes it was interesting. You might not have done. I heard it was back in the late 90s. Seinfeld, not a program that I've ever watched, but it was interesting. There was an episode called Yada Yada. And in that, there was all sorts of conversations that were going on. And in those conversations, if they wanted to skip to the point, they'd go like, Darren, with your messages, yada, 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 skip to the end, Darren. We want to know what the end says. Yada, yada. Gloss over all of this stuff. Let's just get to the punchline. But actually, the word yada, as you might imagine, has roots in the Bible. It has Hebrew roots, and it simply means to know. So yada means to know. But what is it that we know? So there's three examples I'm going to give us of yada this morning. First one is going to be about love. It's going to be about mercy. Second about mercy, and then about acting justly. Depending on the context of the word to know, it works in a number of different ways. So one example could be Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore a son Cain. This is in Genesis 4. Cain knew his wife, Yada, his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. Adam knew Yada, his wife again, and she bore him a son named Seth. So there's one context of it. It speaks about a very intimate kind of knowing. And someone expanded it this way, because you might just be going down one route, saying it's not strictly a sexual relationship. It doesn't mean that we're experiencing Yada in that moment. In other words, Yada is dedicating ourselves to a person so we can engage them with our love and affection. We know them in just a more than passing strangers kind of way. If you look in Proverbs, and it's quite interesting, if you do a Bible search on some of these things, put the word yada in and see where it comes up. In the book of Proverbs, it says, the righteous know, yada, the needs of their animals, but the mercy of the wicked is cruel, Proverbs 12:10. The book of Proverbs tends to highlight the tension between good and evil. You remember it, sometimes it goes this and then this. Proverbs has a lot of that. But in this example, it's saying the good person knows their animals and knows how to take care of them. Whereas the cruel or wicked person, they might know it, but they don't do it, which is even more cruel and wicked, isn't it? Yada is understanding the needs of those around us and, importantly, taking care of them. So yada is more than just knowing at the moment. Again, if we move into yada, acting justly, it's another illustration, and I'm going to quote this one because it was quite a pretty little illustration, this, and it's going to form our basis for reflecting. So as we go through each message on a Sunday morning, I'll take us to that point where we reflect, and we've done that every Sunday so far. So we listen to something, and then we say, okay, Lord, speak to me, which is what we were doing here yesterday. In the book of Jeremiah, he is rebuking even the king of Judah. And in verse 16 of Jeremiah 22, we see the word yada used, but it's blended in a certain way that really gives us some context for what I want us to think about this morning. And this is what Jeremiah was saying. He said, but a beautiful cedar palace does not make a great king. He's talking to the king of Judah here. He says, your father Josiah also had plenty to eat and drink. But he was just and right in all his dealings. That is why God blessed him. He gave justice and helped the poor and needy, and everything went well for him. Isn't that what it means to know Yada me, says the Lord? In this chapter, Jeremiah is already saying that God has a rebuke for you. You are not a king like your dad was king. You are a king that is neglecting the poor. You are a king that is neglecting the needy. You are selfish and you are exploiting others. You are using all of these nice things to build your lovely palaces, your nice kingdoms and everything else. But you do not know Yada God. Through Jeremiah, the Lord is telling this corrupt king what it truly means to know Yada God. We should be doing justice, or he should have been doing justice. When we know God, we will show mercy to the poor and the needy. When we Yada know God, we will demonstrate a good and righteous character. In other words, the blended use here of the word yada, and if you go back and look at in that verse and you say, well, it's got yada and some other bits added to it, it's a blended word. It's to live faithfully that covenant relationship with the Lord in every area of our lives. If we yada know God, we will live out that covenant relationship, that agreement we've made with God in every area of our lives. Do you yada this morning? Do you know God? Are you working that out in every area of your life? What has that got to do with Hosea? Well, if you look back into Hosea 4 and verse 6, Hosea 4 and verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. And as a result of this, he says, I also reject you as my priest because you've ignored the law of your God. I'll also ignore your children. It's quite a big promise in Hosea. Obviously, we remember it's not taken out of context. God has a chosen people. They no longer love him. They no longer acknowledge him. As I said a minute ago, they exchange the love of God for other gods, small g. That's the story of Hosea and Gomer. Marry that adulterous wife. She's going to go away. She's going to bear you children of unfaithfulness. She's going to run off with other loves, and your heart, Hosea, is going to be for her. You're going to continually love her. You will still provide for her, even though she's gone off and rejected you. And when it's all gone wrong and she's had enough, you will then go to the slave market and you are going to buy her back. Although you've paid that amount for a slave, she doesn't come back as your slave. She comes back as your wife. And that's just a beautiful picture of how God buys us back. Do you know him? Do you know him? Yada. It's not simply enough just to know. And that was kind of my subtext as I put this together, as I was planning out. We can know God, but it's not enough just to know. I think yesterday, as some of us received our prayer ministry here, we might have known lots of things about God. We might have known lots of things about how he says he could heal. But for a lot of us yesterday, we experienced that in such a way that it's life transforming. If you're at the front and you turn around and you look towards the back, look whose faces are shining this morning, because they don't just know God, they've experienced that. So those examples that I gave a minute ago about love, mercy, and acting justly, they've got a doing word in front of them. We should share love. If we know God, we know his love, we will share that love. If we know God's mercy in our lives, we will share that mercy. We'll show that mercy to somebody else. If we see how God behaves, it will cause us to behave in the same way. Jesus prayed in our reading, John 17, verse 3. I accentuated every time I said the word no. You might have caught that or might not have caught that. But it's not just enough to know. Jesus wants us to know God, but not in that way like, I don't know, who's ever been on a journey and you can say, well, actually, if you go down here, you go left, right, yeah. Have you ever been down that road? No, I've never been down there. I can tell you the directions, I can tell you how to get there, but I've never walked it myself. You might know of a particular journey, but you've never walked it. But for that person that's walked it, they go, oh yeah, well, you go down there, there's these beautiful flowers that come out at the beginning of the year. And then if you go around the corner, you'll see, and if you look through the gap of the trees, you can see the most spectacular view. I sometimes pause at that view and, oh, it's just beautiful. And completely different journey. You've walked it, you know it. And as Jesus is praying for us, he's saying, don't just know this stuff like passing directions on and you've never been there. Know this. Pause in it. Reflect in it. Just share that amazing truth that you've experienced yourself. Let's just go back to those words. It's in John 17. I'm going to pick it up at the beginning. John 17. He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. Now this is eternal life. This is what it is. That they know you. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I just think that's just a beautiful picture. Jesus came and he's been on that journey and he wants us to know God in that most special and beautiful way. So, of course, I'm going to ask you this morning, what do you know about God? Do you really know him? When we thought about it last week, and you tried to describe God, what words would you use to describe God? Does that fill you with thankfulness for all he's done? Do you wake up the next day and say, I wonder what God's got for me today? It's such an exciting journey with God. And he reveals that plan slowly to us in our lives. Or do you see him as a distant character, someone we can't really know? He's far too holy to be interested in me. You might not actually use the words, but you could now go, well, yada, 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 yeah, whatever. When he comes back, that's fine. That's it. Skip to the punchline. That's all I want. All this journey as we're going along, far too much for me. Let's get to the end already. I want you just to think for a moment. Hosea and Gomer, think back to that moment. God paid a huge price to have that restored relationship with us. And it's not a skip to the end moment. Just pause for a moment. What do you know? What do you know about God? How much do you know God? I'm going to put some words up on the screen if it might help you. These are the titles from our Life Explored series. You might want to reflect on those as you look at those for a moment. But let's close our eyes and just say, Lord, what do I know about you? That Holy Spirit moment we had yesterday, God, reveal to me. I don't know how you listen to God, but I found pretty much yesterday and most people I spoke to that God instantly gives us a word in our mind. He instantly says something, and normally we can go with that gut reaction. So again, just for a moment, keep your eyes closed and say, Lord, expand that thought. Expand that thing in my mind. What is it that I'm actually so thankful for this morning? What is it that you're saying to me you want to do in my life? still and know that I'm God. Thank you, Eric. Keep your eyes closed for a moment and let's just hear some more of Jesus' prayer. Jesus said these words, "Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." Father, I pray as Jesus prays that love for us, that as your people gathered here this morning, I pray we haven't just come to church because it's Sunday and that's what we do, but we've come here because we want to meet with a risen Saviour that is interested in us. Lord, I thank you that when we open up our lives to you, you're never slow to just hit the nail on the head. If we're honest with ourselves before you, you speak directly into those things where either you need to bring healing or where you call to mind those things we can be so thankful for. Lord, I know there's people here this morning that have had that sense of your love just poured out upon them. Those holes in their lives where they've filled it with so much other stuff is now full of you. And it's a perfect fit. So Lord, as we continue in our mourning, continue in our worship, continue in your word. Father, if there's anything we need prayer for at the end of the service, I pray that today is that day that we step into that. We were never meant to carry heavy loads. Let us know you more and better. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So look, as we close up and wrap up the message this morning, it's not simply enough just to know God. If we know God, but we don't respond to that call, his call on our lives, but also those great words, two letters, go. We've got to go and tell a lost world about his love. Then we've actually missed the point entirely, haven't we? What he created, what is broken, why did Jesus come? Hopefully it is written on our faces, and I can see for some folk this morning, something has changed. If church is a club, I can be really honest, there are far better clubs than church. There really are. Don't come to church if you think it's a club. You're wasting your time. Genuinely. But if you know God, if you know his love for his people, if you know his compassion for people, and you know and you trust him with your whole life, then you will aspire to that love that Jesus was speaking about. God loves you, and you've got to go and tell the lost world how much he loves you. I'm going to finish with a few verses of scripture for you to take away, because God's word is the best. It has life and it has power. 1 Corinthians 13, you'll know it well if you know of that love. It says, 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. And I'm sure you'll mouth these words with me or say them with me. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Wow. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Lots of good uses of the word always there. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, that know word, we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part will disappear. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child and I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, and then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And our takeaway challenge for us this morning is to know God as much as we are able, and love as much as he loves. And that's either going to be good news for you this morning, it's something you're going to go, this is life-giving, or ultimately, it will cause us to stumble. You are either in or out. It is almost as black and white as that. No, it is as black and white as that, isn't it? There's no sitting on the fence with the kingdom of God. You're either for me or against me. Hosea's words says this at the end of Hosea 14 from verse 9. These questions are asked, who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? That is acting with or showing care and thought for the future. Who is prudent? Let him know. Yada them. Let him know. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. The word of God will be life to you. It will be life-giving. You will know God. You will yada. And it won't be yada, 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 get to the punchline. We don't want any of that kind of yada. We want that yada that says, God, I want to know you. I want to journey with you. I'm excited for the journey tomorrow. What is it that you've got? Because we say it often, your kingdom come and your will be done. I want to know what God has in store for us. Our motto verse said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. We wanted to know what God wanted for us. We've now still got it there, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness upon us. I want to know what God's got for Limbrick Woods. I want to know what God's got for each and every one of us. I want to know what God's got for me, and I want to fulfill that. Do you want that too? Do you want to know him more? What a wonderful God we have.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrick Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrick Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.